Welcome to our Sunday night Bible study tonight. I want to welcome everybody that's come out tonight to study God's Word. Tonight we're going to do an in-depth study on can the loved ones in heaven look down on you and I? That's a very good question. I have many people ask me this question. Can people in heaven look down on you and I? A man wrote, "The conductor raised his baton, then nodded toward the orchestra. As the melodies of Bach's Ontario filled the chapel, I waited for our cue. In the soprano section, we stood in matching black concert dresses, voices raised with joy. As we sang, I thought about my dad, how he would have enjoyed hearing such a beautiful production. 1 year before, he had stepped into eternity. At 85, he had lived a full life, yet I still missed him and the musical connection we shared. Then the still small voice whispered, 'He's here, up in the balcony on the left.' I could not see him, but his tears filled my eyes and the music swelled to its crescendo. I knew Dad heard me, sitting in the empty chair, balcony left." So we're going to talk about, can our loved ones look down on us and occasionally visit us? That is a very good question. Tonight we're going to study God's Word and see what the Bible says about it. The Bible does not give us a precise response to this question, but there are clues found in Scripture that seem to prove that they can. I believe from my own research and study of God's Word, the answer is a resounding yes. Not just from my own experience, hearing my wife's voice after she passed away, and my daughter feeling her arms wrap around her and giving her a soothing hug after her passing, but also from others who have reported similar instances. We are told about them, the thin veil between heaven and earth, and Scripture bears witness to the possibility of movement from one to another. In the Old Testament, we read the story of King Saul, who asked to speak to the prophet Samuel. If you open your Bibles tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 28, we're going to read verses 1 through 25 and see what the Bible teaches us about people being able to come from heaven to visit us on earth. 1 Samuel 28, verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 25. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel, and Ashek said unto David, 'Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men.' And David said to Asher, 'Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do.' And Asher said to David, 'Therefore will I make thee a keeper of mine head forever.' Now Samuel was dead, and all of Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all of Israel together, and they pitched in Gibeah. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets, then said Saul unto his servants, 'Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servants said unto him, 'Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor.' And Saul disguised himself, and put on other garment, and he went, and the two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he has cast off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land, wherefore thou layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die. And Saul sware by her to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall be no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Who shall I bring up to thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what thou sawest thou. And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived it, that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, What hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answers me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me? Seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all that day, nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaiden hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaiden, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused, and said, I will not eat. But his servants together with the woman compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did break unleavened bread therefore. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. Let us pray. Father, We thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come tonight to bring this study on can our loved ones see us in heaven. Lord, we pray, God, that you will give us wisdom, you'll give us understanding of your word, and we pray, Father, that you'll give us enlightenment as we study your word tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. Now, granted, Saul made the connection to the Witch of Endor, but God allowed that experience. Samuel asked, "Why have you summoned me?" He and Saul discussed the kingdom, and Samuel critiqued the embattled king. Saul asked for advice, and God allowed it through his deceased servant Samuel. We are cautioned in Deuteronomy 18:10 not to speak and not to seek out sorcerers or witchcraft. But the passage in 1 Samuel shows it is possible for someone who has passed to revisit earth and even speak to us. The stories is the second thing I want to cover. Reverend Stella Ruiz, an ordained minister and bereavement coordinator for hospice, writes this: "I have listened to many family members share how they have experienced the presence of their loved ones after they have passed. After a loved one dies, many family members yearn for just a touch, a scent, a sign to know their loved one is all right. The soft smell of a loved one's perfume, physical touching and physically feeling that loved one's arms around a family member, or lights turned off without any reason. The experiences are precious and unique, but can also be painful after that special moment has ended. Several years ago, a pastor wrote this. He met a remarkable woman in the nursing home. She was in her 80s. Cora loved reminiscing about her life during World War II, the Depression, and the rebuilding of the United States. Cora shared with me that her son Buddy loved his dog. They often played in the backyard, caressing each other, loving each other, and careening around the perimeter of the yard, jumping over a tree stump and playing peekaboo under the sheets drying on the clothesline. Cora's precious Buddy died in the flu epidemic of 1918. She grieved long and hard. Then one day she heard the dog barking. She looked in the backyard and saw something that had not happened since Buddy became ill. The dog careened around the perimeter of the yard, jumping over the tree stump, then playing peekaboo under the sheets drying on the clothesline. Cora knew the dog was playing with her invisible son, and a piece of her fractured heart began to heal." Now, third thing we want to look at is there is an argument to be made for us being able to see our loved ones come from heaven and speak to us. A common argument asks, why would someone in heaven watch what is happening on earth? That would simply make them sad. But what if God protects the deceased from the sadness and allows only what brings them as well as us joy? We all need to be encouraged. God is faithful in providing that boost of encouragement exactly when we need it. Can't the God who knows our hearts determine when and how to send a message of hope? Can He save our souls with a glimpse into this beautiful world and the affirmation that our loved ones are with Him? Hebrews 12:1 gives us another clue that those who have passed can communicate with us on earth. It says this: "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The use of the word cloud implies a different reality and a different entity, possibly above us and engulfing us. Within the clouds stand those who have gone before, cheering us on, praising God for our progress as we run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14 further states this, "But to which of the angels saith he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Since we are told guardian angels walk with us and minister to us, is it not possible that the spiritual realm around us might also include those who have passed away?" Now, we want to look at a biblical perspective. A biblical perspective. John Piper writes, "God will give the saints whatever measure of knowledge they need for the greatest experience of happiness in God. If they need to know something for their fullest experience of joy in God, they will know it. He won't withhold what is needed for their happiness in Him." In the New Testament, we read about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 30. Luke 16, 19 through 30. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell," that's the word Hades, "he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto him from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. This passage records the story of how the rich man looked and saw the poor man Lazarus at peace in paradise. The rich man realized too late his mistake in not believing in Christ and not caring about the poor folks who had journeyed through his life. He asked Abraham to send Lazarus as a witness to his family to warn them before it was too late. Abraham declined the request, but this passage underscores the fact that a deceased Abraham conversed across the spiritual divide. He may have not been able to travel across that divide, but, my friend, he was able to speak across that divide. If those who suffer in Hades can look upward, is it not also possible under God's tutelage for the reverse direction, for people to look from heaven down to us? The Bible gives us another example. Fifthly, when God wills it. In Matthew 17, the transfiguration account underscores how deceased saints may suddenly appear on earth. Matthew 17, 1-9. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Now Jesus is joined by Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, who talk with the Son of God. It is a moment of instruction for Peter, James, and John, as well as a reminder to us that the saints in glory, when God wills it, can travel back to earth. This January, my best friend and wife suffered a sudden illness and left for heaven. After her memorial service, I holed up for a while, journeying through my grief and trying to find some sense in my world without Terry, my spouse of 43 years. One night, I sat on my bed with my Bible open, crying out the raw emotions of grief. Then I sensed Terry behind me, her hand on my shoulder, letting me know she was okay. I did not actually see Terry or feel her in a physical sense, yet somehow, just knowing she was in the room reminded me that our friendship continued into eternity and beyond what I could physically experience. As in life, so in death, her presence was a comfort to me. Also, as I was lying in my bed, I heard her voice. I heard her yell out at me, telling me to get up one Sunday morning before church, as she always did every Sunday morning while she was alive. I heard her like she was in the room with me. I heard that voice of her, my loving wife, calling me to get up, get out of the bed, and get ready for church. Now, some final thoughts. We can't know everything that happens after death, and truthfully, we probably don't want to know everything. Yet I believe God is so loving, He sometimes allows us to see or feel into other realms to remind us He is omnipresent and always caring. Years ago, I read an anonymous quote that still encourages me today. This is what it said. Since God is with us and our loved ones are with Him, then they're not very far away. Listen, my friend, I hope through these passages in Scripture you have seen the realization that our loved ones can see us from heaven. They can look down upon us. I'm not saying they look down upon our trials and our troubles and our tribulations, but they look down on us when we're in the realm of doing good works for God and the times that we need joy. God allows them to look down just as He did my wife, just as He did my daughter. I can't tell you the times that my daughter has told me that she has felt when she went to the grave of my wife where we spread her ashes. She said she knelt down and began to cry, but she felt the loving arms of my wife around her. She felt her touch her shoulder. I have felt her touch my shoulder. I have felt her in the room with me. I have heard her voice. I have experienced the fact that she can travel to this realm to give me peace, to give me assurance, to give me comfort. So I hope that you have learned something through this study. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come to bring your word tonight. We pray, Father, we don't know everything about heaven. We don't know everything about you. But, Lord, through your word, we've learned tonight that there are people that come back to earth after they've gone to heaven. We see that with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. We saw that in the Old Testament where Samuel came up to speak to Saul. And Lord, we bless you, we praise you for the comfort you give us through those words we hear from our spouses and our friends that have passed on. We praise you for that mighty touch that you've given us through the presence of our loved ones that comfort us, that touch us, and know that everything's going to be all right. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us life. We thank you, Lord, for giving us eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for providing a home in heaven for us as we join our loved ones after we leave this walks of life. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.